Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com. Did you know that half of America is single? Hollywood has never produced anything like this before. The Dating Project, a groundbreaking documentary that follows five single people, ages 18 to 40, as they search for authentic and meaningful relationships. There is no script. There are no actors. These are real people trying to find love and happiness in an age of swiping left or right. From Empower Pictures, Paulus Productions, Family Theater Productions, and PureFlix, you can now own The Dating Project. Save the date by visiting thedatingprojectmovie.com and go a step further and help others in your circle date differently by partnering with Ascension Press. Visit shop.ascensionpress.com to acquire the companion study guide. The Dating Project Movie is now available on DVD and digital download on Amazon, iTunes, and Walmart. Please visit thedatingprojectmovie.com for details.
Welcome to the Salt and Light Podcast. Be salt and light, glorifying the Lord by your life.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Salt and Light Podcast. I'm your host, Chuck Fulkerson, joined by the voluble Annie Fulkerson. She is voluble.
I don't know. It sounds like I should probably put the biscotti down. What does that mean?
Voluble means to be glib or given to speaking.
Oh, all right.
You're not really glib, but you're given to speaking.
Oh, I would not have guessed that. I don't know. Yeah, it makes me sound like I should put down the biscotti.
Voluble. Voluble does make you sound like you should put down the biscotti and maybe pick up a treadmill while walking on another treadmill.
Yeah, well, it's podcast night. I broke out a biscotti and decided to have a little treat.
This actually, you have biscotti and hot chocolate. And I'm disappointed because I have my customary bourbon.
Yeah, I know. I didn't feel like having a drink tonight. I feel like having a cookie. You know, my parents came over for dinner and my dad gave me a hug goodbye. And he's like, wow, he's like, your back is like hard as a rock.
So you've earned a cookie.
So I've earned a biscotti. I was like, yeah, I've been lifting a lot. What can I say?
Well, I had three buddies that came over the other night and we talked about trading and we drank three bottles of bourbon. It was awesome. We
didn't finish the whole thing.
We didn't finish three bottles of bourbon, but we sampled three different bottles.
And which was your favorite? Still the Basil Hayden's?
Basil Hayden's is good. It's a little bit...
You did try a new one, though. Sweeter.
Yeah. Yeah, there were... Clyde Mays, I think, was... Clyde Mays is good. Okay. Basil Hayden's is good, too, but Clyde Mays was really good.
I wish I were cool enough to drink bourbon. I'm just not.
You can. Join the club. Come on in.
No, we'll let you in the club. I haven't developed the taste for it. I'm a tequila gal.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know. There's something about it.
I can't get over the fact that it just still tastes like whiskey to me.
Well, it is whiskey.
I know, but like it's like fancy, and it's not like drinking Jack, which is like a fiery bird opening its wings in my chest when it goes down my throat.
There is that. Yeah. A cinnamon whiskey.
Yeah.
The patron saint of whiskey.
Is there a patron saint of whiskey?
Oh, there is a patron saint of whiskey.
There must be. We'll have to figure that out.
Cool.
Well, speaking of saints, this topic for tonight is actually a listener request. So for episode 20,
20. Oh, wow.
Tonight's
that's
episode
awesome.
20. Yeah. This is a listener request. And the listener is my super good friend, Carol. And she asked if we could do a podcast on saints, because I talk a lot about my favorite saints, like Thomas Aquinas and Saint Augustine and St. John of the Cross and Teresa of Avila. So I talk a lot about my favorite saints. And last time we were together, she said, I wish I could like, how do you get those saints? Like, how do you have your favorite saints?
Your posse.
My posse.
Your posse.
Yeah. My posse of peeps. Yeah. I love them. And, so I figured we would dedicate this podcast to Miss Carol, episode 20.
And saints.
Yeah.
Okay. So when I, you know, growing up as a kid, and I did not, I mean, I grew up Catholic, but not as Catholic as you're Catholic, right?
Not actively.
Not an active Catholic, right? Mm-hmm. So growing up Catholic, when I heard of Catholics, I thought about, you know, we've got pictures of saints all over the walls, and it's like you go eat at
Buca de Pepo,
and anybody's ever been to Buca de Pepo? You walk in and there's nothing but pictures of saints all over the walls,
and
the Pope and people from The Godfather,
right?
But that's, you know, kind of,
that's not stereotypical.
No, not in any way. Stereotypical, but fairly accurate. Right? You know I'm right.
All right.
You know,
maybe
I'm right.
A little right.
It's all somebody has to do is to walk into our house, Italian, and see that I stood at one point in our house. I was standing at one point in our house. Now this, I mean, it's certainly still saint-like, but I stood at one point in our house and I could, from one place that I was standing where I was in the living room and I could see into the toy room, into the living room, and into the kitchen, I counted 7 images of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Well, she is the greatest of all saints. Yeah.
7 that I could see from one vantage point.
Hey, look, if there's one created being you want to emulate, it's her.
Right. So, there is that. Yeah. There is that.
Yeah. Well, and last week we had talked about celebrating, speaking of getting into heaven and all that, we had talked about the gospel from last week a lot. Right. And
right.
We talked about celebrating with those who answer the call, whether it's super early or super late.
Right. You got to show up.
Yeah.
The parable of the workers in the field.
Exactly.
You got to show up.
Right. Right.
Okay.
So when we chatted about that, we're talking about the blessing of God's generosity and, you know, answering the call, whether it, you know, like I said, early, really early in life or, you know, on your deathbed, no matter where it is, we celebrate with those who have taken Jesus into, you know, their heart, made Jesus the center of their life, answered God's call, et cetera, et cetera. And when it comes to the saints are those people who have, quote unquote, won the race, right? They are in God's presence. First John chapter 3, verse 2 says, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And in Hebrews chapter 12, which I actually want to read from from the Bible.
You know about that book, right? That is the book of coffee.
That's right.
Hebrews.
Yes. What does Moses do every morning? Hebrews it. So in Hebrews chapter 12, the author says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us. Clings can also be translated from the Greek as distracts us, easy to distract us, and persevere in running the race that lies before us while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of faith. So when we're talking about these saints who have gone before us, and in Hebrews chapter 12, talking about the great race, I think about one of the only races that I ever ran, because I loathe running.
You
we work
hate
out
running.
A lot. We do. I love to lift. But I really hate running.
With a passion.
With a passion. I just don't like it. I'm not built for it. I'm a short, stocky Italian. I just don't like, I feel clunky when I run. I just don't like it.
Today your 5-year-old's like, mommy, let's race. And you're like, no, that's a terrible idea. I will never.
Right, I will do anything else with you, Charlie. I will not race. So, it made me think of the Nike marathon that I ran with my sister and my cousin and my mom and all this stuff. And
Time out. First of all, I would like to point out, number one, you say you hate racing. You don't like running.
No.
So since you don't like running, you ran a marathon.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's so just my personality.
That's problem one.
Right.
Problem two, what you didn't share with anybody is that you didn't just run a, you know, the Texas Marathon, it's a lot of running, but I mean, it's Texas, it's flat, right? Mm-hmm. The Houston Marathon. You go run the marathon in Arizona, it's flat, no problem. You ran it in San Francisco.
Yeah, it was a little hilly.
Come on, woman. I hate running. Yeah, you ran a marathon in San Francisco. Carry on.
Yeah. Well, that should tell you something about
carry on, my wayward
anyway.
Son.
All right. So the point about the race, though, was that there, you know, you start out at the starting blocks with like a zillion other people. And of right. course, everyone's running at a different pace all through the marathon. And
by the way, I would sprint up front just so I could say I was leading the.
And I ran with my sister, who is an avid runner. She's a great runner.
She's a ridiculous runner.
She's like, oh, I just went out and I just ran like, you know, 10 miles today.
It was a short run.
We're like, come on, Audrey.
It was a short run. The yeah. best one, she's like, are there any dogs? My dog get tired after about 6 miles. Are there any dogs that are good after 6 miles? I was like, yeah, it's called a wildebeest.
Even wild wolves in Alaska can't even outrun that.
It migrates across Africa. It maybe can keep up with you.
Right.
She should be on the Iditarod.
right. That's what she needs. She needs an Alaskan Malamute or something.
Yeah.
So, although they don't run... Anyway, okay, well, I'm getting totally off track. Okay, so when we ran the race, everybody runs at a different pace. My sister stayed, you know, with me. We were, I don't know what mileage pace we were running, maybe a 9-10 minute mile, who knows. The point is, when we stopped at all kinds of different stations to get water and snacks and cool treats and stuff like that. But the thing I remember a lot was at the end, the people who had finished way, way, way before me.
Like yesterday.
They had probably even like showered, blow dried their hair, got a drink. They all came back and they came back to cheer on the people who were still running. And they ran with the people. So you have like.
They ran a marathon and then went back and ran some more.
Yeah, you know, like not far, like maybe a mile or something.
That sounds,
you know, like the last,
terrible.
Within the last like mile, maybe 2 miles, they did. They cheered on the people and gave, you know, you can't finish a race for somebody, but you can finish it with them. And there's something to be said for the adrenaline rush that gives you, that
right.
suddenly you're surrounded by people who have already won the race, but are cheering you on. Right. And even though it had been, you know, so many miles that we were running and my feet were killing me because I decided that a couple rounds of P90X, like I was in good enough shape, I could do this. And I did it, except my body wasn't accustomed to running that far. And so my feet were like absolutely killing
yeah,
me by
terrible.
The end. Yeah, it was really a dumb idea to run a cold marathon cold. But in any case, the adrenaline made all of that go away. And I finished surrounded by all of those people and people who didn't even know me, but I was with...
We're cheering you know, for you.
We're cheering for me.
Right.
Right? And we were all cheering for the same goal. So I think that's a really nice analogy for... It's a simple analogy, but I think it's a really nice analogy for the saints, right? They're the ones who have already ran the race. They're already in the presence of God. And whether they're a canonized saint or not, if you've made it to heaven, you're a saint.
You're in. Okay. So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah. I think they're more than just an inspiration. You know, I talk about my posse of saints being heroes of mine, and they are. But
right.
But I mean, there's also like you love baseball, right? And
sure.
There are athletes that, you know, that you look up to and stuff like that. And but the saints are different because they're living, even though they're in heaven. God, our God, is not the God of the dead. He is the God of the living, right? Mark chapter 12, 26, 27. So
you just pulled that one right out.
Yeah. Well, there are certain Bible verses you just get to know, but they're more than an inspiration. They're more than heroes. They're family, right? Because we're all part of the one mystical body of Christ. Right? Romans 12:5, Ephesians 4:4, Colossians 3:15. It all talks about there's at least a dozen more references to the one mystical body of Christ. And because God is God of the living and not God of the dead, then the saints in heaven are alive. They're just alive at a higher pitch of existence than we are in our, or, you know, on earth right now. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. You said pitch of existence and it made me think about a dog whistle, right? A dog whistles at a higher pitch. We can't hear it, but it's being blown.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just at a different pitch.
Yeah.
Or colors of the light spectrum that we can't see.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, the example of God being God of the dead and, or excuse me, God of the living and not God of the dead. You know, we see that a lot, right? Think about the transfiguration,
right?
You know, scene where Jesus is conversing with Moses and Elijah, right? Clearly who've been dead a very, very long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Except, long, long time ago.
Right. Except he's conversing with them, right? We see that in Mark chapter 9, verse 4. And then in one of the last things that Jesus ever says as he's dying on the cross, he looks at the one being crucified with him, and he says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Well, what do you think he was talking about?
Right.
You know,
not thinking it was a cruise ship.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to be with Christ alive in heaven in a, you know, at a different pitch of existence. And so I think and that was from Luke chapter 23. So I think it's important to recognize that the saints are people that are not just to be emulated and looked up to as heroes, like, you know, like we would a golfer for his golf swing or a,
well, and the other thing is not to be looked at and emulated as heroes like Superman or Iron Man, right? I think sometimes the kids, especially when they're younger, right, they hear about a saint, but do they think of a saint as a person, or because it's in a book or it's a picture that they see on the wall, mm-hmm. do they think of that saint like they think of Iron Man?
Hmm, that's a good point.
Yeah. Right. I mean, to Charlie, is Saint, you know, is Thomas Aquinas the equivalent of Iron Man, or is he the equivalent of Batman?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Is Saint Teresa the equivalent of Wonder Woman? I don't mm-hmm. know. And that's actually something that's,
you know what, that's
worth
a really
exploring
good,
with the kids.
I think that's a really good point. And when I was I taught children's liturgy and I on this just this past Sunday.
Right.
And we were talking about saints, and I teach the third through fifth graders. So during the readings and during the liturgy of the word, I have the kids and we read the two readings in the gospel. And when we were talking about the saints, I asked them what a saint is. And one of the girls said, well, they do things that are really extra special, like miracles and stuff. And I think that though that's sort of true,
right.
I think that that's more akin to what you're saying. And we may need to sort of correct that.
It's the superhero saint syndrome.
Right.
You like that? I just named that.
Yeah. Say that again.
Superhero saint syndrome.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point that we need to correct with kids, because it almost makes it unattainable, right?
Right?
Or seem unattainable.
It does.
Like, I could just never do that.
Sure.
So.
A superhero saint might. If a superhero saint is the same as Batman, then we know that Batman's imaginary.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what he stands for. Well, I don't say Batman stands for sainthood, mm-hmm. but you know, it takes the tangibleness, right? The tangible nature of becoming a saint away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really, really good. That's a really good point. And when we look at the saints in that way, I think it almost detracts from what they've actually done with their lives.
Right.
Because we talked last week about the three things that are, you know, can be distilled down from a lot of the saints' writings, right? Making Christ the center of your life, knowing that you're a sinner, and knowing your life is not, realizing your life is not about
it's
you.
It's not about you.
Right. Well, you don't, that's, in order to become a saint, when you do those things, you don't become a saint because you cured someone of cancer, you know, because you, I don't know, did like one thing that's extraordinary. It was the conversion of heart to make Christ the center of your life. So I think that, like, if saints are people who have made Christ the center of their life, they are imitating Christ, and in doing so, they're transforming themselves into saints by the grace of God.
Right.
Right. One of my favorite quotes by Saint Irenaeus is, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." So when we are imitating Christ, we're not, when we, let me go back to the last Sunday. Last Sunday's
fully
reading,
alive.
Mm-hmm, last Sunday's reading was from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And it said, "Though he was in the form of God, he did not deem equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave." That was Christ. If we're to imitate Christ, we are to become a slave. That doesn't sound very appealing in 2017.
That's not very nice.
Right. But, and that sounds like suppression and suffocation,
right.
and you know, you're taking away my identity and blah, blah, blah. But that's not at all.
Under the thumb of another.
Exactly.
Right.
But that's not at all. Again, we talk all the time about how the way we think is not the way God thinks. We think so linearly, and God does not think that way. In fact, it's just the opposite. When we become a slave, so to speak, to Christ, it's liberating. Saint Paul says, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." Saints are more alive, not less. They're more themselves, not less. We see St. Paul is quite the character in the New Testament, right?
Yeah.
St. Paul.
Right.
Paul. St. Paul is not, he's not a boring guy. And there isn't one saint that I've ever heard about or read about who was a boring person. These people, when they have truly made Christ the center of their life, they know that they are a sinner. They have realized that their life is not about them. They are elevated. And it's because God does not compete with his creation. He doesn't say, "I will not share my glory." He elevates us. The glory of God is a human being fully alive. He doesn't compete with us. When we cooperate with his grace, we are elevated and transformed. Think about the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. They gave Jesus just what they had.
A couple of fish bones and some stale bread.
Exactly. And what did Jesus do? He elevated it and transformed it. And that's what God does with us. We're nothing. We're nothing. If you read any of St. Teresa of Avila, the way she talks about herself is very unlike how we would talk about ourselves now or feel comfortable talking about ourselves. We are nothing, dirt. She refers to herself so many times as a little worm. And yet she is a doctor of the church. she's
a little worm.
Yeah, she recognized herself as so insignificant on her own. Right?
Right.
It was only through the grace of God that she was able to do anything at all. And she is amazing.
She's one of your peeps.
She's one of my peeps. She is.
part of the posse.
Part of my posse. And, you know, if we look at, you know, speaking of how God does not compete with his creation, think about Moses and the burning bush. The bush was on fire, but it wasn't consumed.
Right.
The same thing happens when we truly let Christ be the center of our life. We are on fire, but we're not, we're not consumed in a, like, you know, degrading sort of way.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? We are consumed with Christ, but that's not what I'm talking about. Do you understand right. the analogy I'm trying to make?
Yeah, not consumed. Not, you know, like I'm going to consume me some chocolate cake.
Or the rest of my biscotti over
right,
here.
Right, I'm going to eat that biscotti. That was good.
Yeah, God is not in competition with his creation. And it's the reason why someone like Mother Teresa, now Saint Teresa of Calcutta, is more beautiful than Jennifer Lawrence or Emma Stone. Like, there's something so radiantly beautiful about her face because from it, she is radiating the love and the life of Christ himself. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. When I see her face, I think of it. For some reason, I think of it a black and white picture. Right.
Yeah.
Black and white picture with a lot of wrinkles. But mm-hmm. you're right.
Yeah.
And she didn't always have wrinkles.
No, she didn't.
Just in most of my lifetime.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, speaking of those pictures, how are we reminded of our own family?
Pictures and stuff
and photo blankets and anything else you can order from Shutterfly or Tiny Prints or any of those companies now. Right. The same thing happens with Catholics and saints. There's a common misconception that we worship the saints.
Yeah.
Anyone who was raised Catholic should know that we don't worship saints. And it doesn't even cross our mind. When our kids see a picture of the Blessed Mother, or they see a picture of, or they see me wearing my St. Thomas Aquinas shirt.
Yeah, she has a St. Thomas Aquinas t-shirt.
I do. It's awesome. But they don't look at that. They don't look at my t-shirt and they're like, oh, we need to worship St. Thomas Aquinas. Like, that doesn't even cross their mind.
Right.
Because to us, we're just seeing a family member. We're seeing someone who happens to be living in the presence of God at that higher pitch of existence. And so what I would like to, I've invited you guys last week to spend 20 minutes in prayer, right? Calling God Abba, Dad, right? I'd love to hear if anyone wants to share what that's been like for them. But this week, if you don't have a favorite saint, if you've never considered looking into the saints at all, I invite you to do that. And how do you do that? Well, you could start with your namesake and read a little bit. If there's a saint, you know, you're named after or happen to have a name in common with, look up that saint, do a little bit of reading.
I've got mine.
What's your saint?
Saint Anthony the Abbot.
I don't know about Saint Anthony the Abbot.
Well, Saint Anthony the Abbot, he's the patron saint of bacon.
Shut up. What?
He's the patron saint of bacon.
Come on.
Yes, Saint Anthony, a patron of pigs, swine herders, and butchers, is commonly portrayed with a pig. As such, over time, he has come to be commonly known as the patron saint of bacon, Saint Anthony the Abbot. You can read that on the website, bacontoday.com.
We just found the patron saint of the Salt and Light podcast.
Now,
Saint Anthony the Abbot, pray for us.
I will tell you, there is no patron saint of whiskey. I looked it up while we were on the phone.
But
there is a website titled whiskeycatholic.com.
Oh.
Yeah, how cool is that?
Hmm.
Basically, it says that if there was a patron saint of whiskey, it would be. Are you ready for this? St. Patrick.
That would make sense. There he goes. Yeah. All right. Well, St. Anthony the Abbot is now the new patron saint of the Salt and Light podcast. Yeah. It's become official, folks. Episode 20. You heard it here first.
The patron saint of bacon.
So I invite you guys, you know, to find your saint. Look for your namesake. Read about it. Read about that person.
Build your posse.
Look at your birthday. Just about every single day, there's the feast day of a different canonized saint. And so look at your birthday, look at your anniversary day.
Or just use St. Thomas Aquinas, because that's what you do.
Yeah. Or look up some saints by common interest, perhaps, or demographic background, or like how you grew up or something like that. And so find someone that is similar to you, and then find someone who's not like you. Because the one thing about the saints that's so wonderful is that they all are so different. There are so many paths to holiness, and the saints emulate so many different qualities of God. God created everything, right? Through the incarnate word. And so all of these saints are emulating some sort of different quality of God, which is a beautiful thing. Spend some time in prayer thinking about that. So find a saint, you know, that is like you, and then find a saint who is not like you.
I think it's pretty easy for me to find a saint who's not like me.
And if you need
that's not so hard. Finding a saint that's not like me, easy.
And if you need some help doing that, I certainly don't know all of the saints, but I do know a fair share of them. So if you need any help or anything, shoot us a message on saltandlightonline.com. Or you can reach us on Twitter or Facebook, or, you know, reach out and I might be able to.
Are the other 900 methods of communication we now have?
Yeah, it's super fun. And one last point that I wanted to make is that sometimes there's a lot of objection about Jesus is the one mediator, right? So don't ever pray to a saint, right? Don't ever pray to anybody else, because Christ is the only mediator, which he is the only mediator. However, the scripture also tells us that we are co-workers.
Wait a minute.
We are co-workers with Christ. And so if anybody has ever said, "Will you pray for me?" and you've said yes, you were acting as a mediator. I hate to tell you. So that's how we use the saints. That sounds terrible. We use the saints, but we do. We ask for their intercessory prayer, because in James chapter 5, it says a prayer of righteous people will bear more fruit. And so that's the last thing that I want to leave you with, is that once you find your saint that is like you and the one that is not like you, you're gonna have to roll some dice for the one that's not like you, just to pick one.
I'll find one. And I'm sure it won't be that tough.
and then talk to them. They're alive in the presence of God, and the prayer of those righteous people will bear more fruit. And so ask for their intercessory prayer, just like you would ask your wife, your husband, your best friend, your kids, your aunt, your uncle, your mom, your dad to pray for you as well. So that's it.
All right. And put a bow on this one.
Pull the ripcord.
Put a bow on this pig.
I'm going to finish my biscotti now.
St. Anthony the Abbot. All right.
St. Anthony the Abbot. Pray for us.
All right. If you like what you hear, go to iTunes, leave us a review. If you don't like what you hear, go to iTunes, leave us a review, and make sure it's 5 stars.
5 stars, yeah.
So,
and thanks. Thank you to those who have been leaving reviews. It's super, super helpful.
It really helps a lot. So if you guys could, it'll take 2 seconds of your time, but it means a lot. So
yeah, and keep these suggestions coming. We'd love to do more podcasts on listener suggestions. So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Peace out. See you soon.
You've been listening to the Salt and Light Podcast. Be salt and light, glorifying the Lord by your life.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.